got me so down. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Grief Chat with your host, Donna Mathewitz. We are so grateful to have Donna come and join us every month and share some insights into this whole grieving process. And this show has just been such a blessing, I know, for so many people. So, Donna, thank you so much for your time and your insights and helping as many people as you do. I think you help more people than you even know.
Glad to be here.
There's a saying, it just kind of sums up fall, and it's something about fall is a reminder of how beautiful it is to let go. And I'm paraphrasing, so I don't say it right, but
yeah,
it really is the truth, isn't it?
Yeah. I saw something like that too. It talked about, especially living where we do, or we have such definite change of seasons. It shows that everything changes. It can be true for our grief journey too. We know that things are going to change. We don't know how or when, but what we're sure of is things will change. Yeah.
Well, you started a wonderful topic last month, and I know we want to continue our conversation about the misconceptions of grief, and there certainly are a lot of them.
There are. I think the basis for many of them are from people who probably have not experienced grief, at least not to the depth that others have, you know, and we can all be, you know, they call them armchair quarterbacks on Sundays, you know, but people gather these opinions. And the thing is, we're all so different on how we deal with anything, mm-hmm. whether it's good news or bad news or illness. We're all over the board as human beings, right, of how we are going to cope and what methods we'll use to get us through, whether it's the healthiest way to do it or not. Some people come up with some of these ideas that it would just be better if. And so the first one I have here is the misconception that tears of grief are a sign of weakness. Mm. And boy, I think that a lot of that can stem from a family of origin. What was taught to you as a child, especially, I think, as a boy. My husband, Dick, talked about that a lot after Tim's death, how he realized that he'd been sold a bill of goods that said, boys don't cry, you're a sissy. There's all kinds of names for boys that show emotion. And I remember him saying a few times, it's just such a handicap, such a disadvantage to be a man doing this. But if he talked to him now, he will say, but I learned to cry. You know, now he kind of laughs at himself like, gosh, I can't believe that TV commercial made me tear up, you know. Mm.
So how do you learn to cry, Donna?
Well, in our situation, the emotion that was there, it became easier to let it out than to try to hold it back. Mm. Because, I mean, any of us can relate to that, where you just want to cry and you don't. And it's not always easy to not cry, but you can get good at it, I think. Dick grew up the youngest of four boys, and he would say, and they saved the best till last, of course. So that's what he believes. So he was the youngest of four. And, you know, for the older two, it kind of was one of their goals in life is to get him to cry. And he learned, I told my brother, you can break my arm off, I'm not going to cry. So it was really deep inside of him, this idea that you don't cry, which is crazy. God gave us all tears, right? So it certainly isn't a sign of weakness. It was cool. When I speak to different groups, I talk about even the chemical makeup of tears of grief. Underneath a microscope, there is a difference. I just looked it up again before I called in today, Mo, looking at the different pictures of the tears. So, you know, tears of cut an onion versus laughing tears versus tears of anger and change, and then the tears of grief. There is far more stress hormones in the tears of grief and other things. I don't know all the technical names, but there is a different component of chemicals in our tears of grief. I was reading somebody said even that some reason why tears of grief can sometimes be sticky, like you can actually, they kind of stick, you know, on your fingers, you can feel a difference.
Oh.
So there is something different. So I always say God gave us those tears because he knew how much we need to use them in our grief. So, you know, it is that certainly not a sign of weakness, whether you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. It's really healthy to be able to cry. And just like everything with grief, there's no timeline. Mm. You can be years and years down the road and there's going to be something that's going to trigger. And I think sometimes it's what else is going on in my life right now. It's been a really tough week. I haven't felt well, you know, a list of things. And then on top of that, then that occurred to me, or somebody's birthday, or it's the anniversary of a death. So there's a time, I think, where a good old cry is prescribed, you know, that it is just good for you. You know, we never say, I had a really bad cry.
No.
It's always, I had a good cry. So isn't that weird how we talk about good and cry together?
Yes.
Which is kind of cool, right? I had a good cry. And we know that once, you know, you're exhausted when you do that, but boy, there's just like, it releases that little thing on the top of a pressure cooker, you know, that's wiggling and steam is coming out of it. If you don't release it, things will blow up. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, great insight on that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Another misconception, being upset and openly mourning means you are being weak in your faith. Boy, there's way too much of that that is tossed around with the faith component in grief, that even that, the whole crazy name it and claim it kind of believing that if you had enough faith, this wouldn't even have happened to him or her, or that's way, way outside of any boundaries. But to think that, well, you just need to pray more, you need to read your Bible more, and I'm all about those things, so it's wonderful, but it does not mean that when you're grieving a really significant loss, you're still going to feel the feels. They're still going to be there. And you can find comfort in your faith. And you have, if you have a people around you who are people who are saying, I'm praying for you. You know, I don't think we all realize how many people pray for us at different times in our lives.
No.
We don't know.
For sure not. And so, Donna, I always talk up, you know, I haven't had the kind of grief that you have had. But certainly when I have been grieving or in the throes of something, and then you can go maybe an hour or two and you don't think about it, or you're not as stressed out. I always chalk that up to, that's the power of somebody else's prayer. They didn't take away what happened, but they certainly gave me peace of mind. And I love praying for peace of mind for people because that's so tangible. And you can just think that your prayer is wrapping that person in some sort of a bubble for just a split second so that they can maybe get rest or do whatever.
Just to take a break from it. We do need to sometimes be able to step away from whatever it is that's such a burden for us at the time and give ourselves that break. There's a song, actually a contemporary Christian song, that says, the title is Looks Like Somebody Prayed. So it's a whole song about things that happen, and it says, oh, looks like somebody prayed. Even when we don't have the wherewithal to do it ourselves, somebody else is. So, that's important. Because the mourning, really, it is a spiritual journey. I mean, no matter how you slice it, this, you know, I always say that grief, you know, kind of comes at us from all angles. It's physical, it's mental, it's emotional, and it certainly is spiritual. So we don't want to let other people take away our grief in the name of faith. That's really a very backwards thing to do. Mm-hmm. So, and there's words of wisdom in the Bible that say, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mm-hmm. So there's truth in that too. Another one, when someone you love dies, you only grieve and mourn for the physical loss of the person. That one's pretty easy to dispel. Of course, there's so much more to that person who's gone. But for some, it's the survivors, there's loss of self. Like, who am I now? Very evident, you know, when you've got a couple and a spouse dies and the surviving spouse has been the caregiver for years, and maybe the husband has been even in a care facility, but every single day that person gets up and dressed and goes there because she wants to be there when he gets his lunch. I mean, you know, just try to imagine, and all of a sudden, like in an instant, she's lost her job. She's lost the reason she got up every day. So that's a huge loss. Yes, she misses him physically. That was her purpose. And we all need a purpose. So for a while, until it recalculates, you don't know what you're supposed to be. So that loss of self and loss of identity is a real thing, for sure. Loss of personality, we probably both know people who are very different. And I do believe we are changed when we have trauma, such as in our story with losing a child. Trauma changes you, and it doesn't have to be a poor outcome. It may take a while for all of it to settle in, but I think people who suffer big losses, it changes us. Mm-hmm. We look at things differently. I always hope that it is for the better, you know, that we become more compassionate and more aware of other people's trouble and a better listener and very slow to judge anybody else and how they're doing it. So there can be some really amazing changes that happen. It doesn't feel very amazing while it's happening, but it does change people. In some cases, when someone loses a loved one, it can mean financial stability. You know, in a situation where the breadwinner is gone, imagine the place that puts the other person and maybe mm-hmm. children involved still at home, and talk about complicated grief when all those things come on top of it. And too often people aren't prepared for what if this happens. Are we set up? Do we have things in order for those left behind? So that can be huge. Even the loss of their own health, if the stress becomes too great, and we're very vulnerable for the probably, I don't know for sure, I'm just going to say, we always consider the first 18 to 2 years after a loss as still very fresh and young grief. It's still very young, the feelings and all the things you're going through. And so in that time, we also are more vulnerable to disease. Even if it's just catching every cold that comes along or the flu that, you know, anywhere, because our immune system is shot for a while, because our body is so busy trying to just help us survive and get up each day and put one foot in front of the other. So it's really important, you know, and that's why I talk a lot about self-care, to be aware of that and know that you're at least drinking enough water. And maybe you can go for a walk around the block every other day or something, but being very cautious about your own health and trying to eat a decent meal once a day anyway, because you're setting yourself up for yet something else to be concerned about if you're risking your own health. And even serious things, cancer and heart problems and all that, can be part of what we have to be aware can happen easier to some people.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But, and you know, when you see someone who is a new griever, I can see it in their face. I see that affect, you know, the eyes that look dull, and can see you don't feel well. And you don't feel well. And yet you're pushed to just do what you absolutely have to get done anyway, when you'd rather sometimes, more often than maybe you should, stay in bed and cover your head. But the real world is out there and demands more than that from all of us. So, yeah. Some of these are kind of crazy. Another, you should try not to think about the person who died on holidays, anniversaries, and birthdays. that's a misconception. But again, I think some of these could come from people, and I could hear somebody saying this to someone who they're concerned with them. You're always so sad. Why don't you just, maybe if you just didn't think about him so much, maybe you should just do something different at Christmas and not do what you usually have been doing. You know, all these, and I think many of these things come out of fairly good intention of, I don't want to see you so sad again this holiday. Instead, you say, well, you know, what could we do? What would you like to do different? Can I help you with something? It took me years before I just plain put away all the ornaments that I'd been hanging on the tree. And I went out and I bought myself a whole new set of ornaments for the tree, changed the color scheme, all that. And I packed, you know, for me, what was difficult is, as so many of us do, we give our children an ornament every year that they then take with them, right, to decorate their own tree. You've done that with your kids at all?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And so I had this box. They were all Tim's ornaments, 16 years of ornaments. And it wasn't just what we gave him, but he'd get them for gifts from other people once in a while, or maybe something he made, you know, in school. And it was killing me to take those ornaments out every year. I just dreaded it. And finally, I thought, why do I keep doing this? Because it was many years in, and I was still doing it. And I thought, why don't I just let this go? So I did. I put all of them in a box, and I actually gave them to our daughter Jill. And she hangs some of them now on her tree, not all of them, but now she has them, and I'm not dealing with them anymore. And I tell people, you know, look at what you're doing, and if it is causing you so much distress, then why do we keep doing it? You know, I don't know, because we think we're not honoring. Maybe did I think I was just going to forget about Tim and Christmas then? I don't know. I can't tell you, but it sure did help when I just did it all different the next year. That's for sure.
Well, and how wonderful to be able to give some real practical advice to somebody that's grieving, Donna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some, you know, they want to, for a while they insist, no, we have our traditions and we are not changing that. We're going to do it. And I think if that works for you, well, okay. More often than not, I think it hurts more You know, it's just, you know, there's just crazy things with the holidays, you know, and we'll be talking about that, you know, I guess next month we'll start talking about the holidays for sure. But there are things that can make it a bit better. The holidays, they do bite, you know, and it hurts. So, yeah, but, you know, and I think simple things to honor people for their birthdays. And for some, it's just, I just go to the cemetery and I put something special there for his birthday, or we invite friends over and we all have just a recognizing it was his birthday and we're going to have pizza for dinner. Or, you know, if you feel like you want to be with people, then invite the people you want around you for that. But it might be you thinking, no, you know what, I just need to be alone. I curled up and went to bed early, you know, and I watched a movie and I cried. And then the next day I got up and it was okay. I got through it.
And so, we as people that are close to that person need to be respectful of that.
Yeah, that's right. Don't try to talk them in or out of anything. If anything, you stand by and go, if there's some way I can help with that, we help you, would you let me help you? Do you tell me what you want or don't want? And I will, you know, I'll just do them. You know, I'll go pick up the pizzas. How about I can just be your little hostess and I'll just slice up the pizza and I'll clean up the boxes after, you know, things like that, that are just hands-on and would be so appreciated. Just think of what can I do to help? And sometimes be creative. If you can think of a way and just say, is it okay if I, whatever, because if you say, what can I do? They may still go, I don't know. I'm fine. I got it. And if that's what they want, then respect that too. You don't want to push so hard that they feel like you're trying to tell them what to do. So, yeah, to be gentle with our help.
You know, such great advice, Donna. And I know that you have an opportunity to meet with people in group settings. Do you want to tell our listeners about that, please?
Certainly, yes. Have a group in at Cook Funeral Home. I'm the aftercare coordinator at Cook Funeral Home in Cottage Grove. So we have a third Monday night of the month meeting that is for any type of loss due to death. We have one that is kind of mirrors that in Hastings at the Community Ed Building on the fourth Thursday night of the month at 6:30. And then we have our Gone Too Soon, which is just for parents and sometimes grandparents who have lost a child. That is on the first and third Wednesday night at 6:30, again, at the Senior Center or in the Community Ed Building.
Donna, so great to chat with you. Thank you so much for what you do. Donna Mathewitz is the host of Grief Chat on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.